flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's time for Ben's Vision.
Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
Projecting how the Bears roster will take shape under new head coach Ben Johnson.
Ben's vision is going to be principle.
These are the type of players that I need. That's the vision.
If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys?
Really enjoy hearing Ben's vision.
Current roster, free agents, and the draft.
Our entire organization's fired up about Ben Johnson and his vision for winning football.
Ben's vision.
I cannot wait to get to work.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It is Ben's vision. We do it twice a week here in the offseason on the Spiegel and Holmes show, taking a look at the current roster and wondering how a player or position group might fit in Ben Johnson's vision. A little bit of backdrop here. We know it's not going to be the exact same offense that Ben Johnson ran in Detroit. He said so at his press conference in the context especially of the quarterback.
This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next. I really look forward to challenging him and pushing him, as I said before, to continue to grow and develop.
So I take that to mean what he says about the playbook and the play design and the quarterback. But in terms of personnel, as we do the Ben's Vision segment, after 3 years as the visionary of the Lions offense, I think their personnel choices are extremely relevant. That's the backdrop for the segment from my perspective. Today we focus on the running back position and principally DeAndre Swift.
To Swift. Look at Swift. Take it to the Washington side of the 50. Down the sideline he goes. And he's galloping home for the game's first touchdown.
There's your Devin Hester moment. You're only two plays off. And I don't see any flags on the field. That's the area where they've been getting going to C-gap, Jim, outside and wide. And Swift shows off the great instincts, the cut, and then the burst to finish.
Ah, yes, DeAndre Swift finishing up the first year of his contract as a new Bear. Mark Grody, tell the kids about DeAndre Swift's production.
DeAndre Swift this season, 253 rushes, 959 yards, 6 touchdowns. That is a 3.8 average carrying the football. He also had 42 catches, 386 yards, and 0 touchdowns in that regard. So that was his season this year. I'm just looking at some of the individual games, too.
Yes.
And I had to check and make sure I was right on this. He only went over 100 yards once this season.
Wow.
That was probably from the carry you just heard. That was against at Washington, 18 carries, 129 yards, but did not go over 100 yards once this season. Obviously did not get to 1,000. And here's the thing about the Swift career, as we kind of do the diagnosis on DeAndre Swift. This is heading into his fifth season. He's had only one 1,000-yard year in his entire career so far.
I think we learned what DeAndre Swift is like as a running back, and it was different than some of us realized. DeAndre Swift is not a guy that you want to run too much between the tackles. I talked about it plenty during the course of the year. You know that thing that running backs do where they attack the hole, but they still perhaps wait a little bit. They're a little bit picky and choosy about their spots. They just kind of move a little, and then they dart when they see that glimmer of sunlight. DeAndre Swift is a guy who would just kind of dive headlong into what the hole appeared to be, and he would get you 2 yards, or he'd get you 3 yards in between the tackles. How many times did we see that growth? He would either do that or try to bounce it outside and make something happen on the outside.
Yeah, I capitalize, and I think I've said versions of that this year. He just doesn't use blocking well. You know what I mean? He's just not great at that. I mean, you think about like Saquon Barkley, really good at using blockers. A guy on the Bears who's really good at using blocking when they pass it to him in shallow areas, or the times that he carried the football this year for the Bears was DJ Moore. DJ Moore was really good at following his blocker. So I think about that.
It's a really good, really good way to put it.
That was one of the bugaboos for Swift this year, I thought.
And I think this player, it's a really interesting one because he's very capable on the outside and capable as the secondary back, the speed back. But will they keep him to do so? We'll give our verdict on that towards the end, and we're going to look at the Detroit running back usage in a second. But tell the kids about Roschon Johnson, too. Let's fold in Roschon,
Yeah, Roschon Johnson this year, 55 carries on the year. This number will probably surprise you. 150 yards.
Man.
I know. That's 2.7 yards per carry. What he did have, and it was like a mini revelation, was 6 touchdowns. And I know 6 touchdowns. But remember, it took a while for the Bears to get going and just go bread and butter instead of being cute at the goal line. They finally started giving the football to Roschon Johnson. God's play. Exactly. God's play it was. So that was really, you know, the only thing I could say. Like, when you look at Roschon Johnson's year and say, yeah, he knew how to get in the end zone when they finally gave him the opportunity.
Hey, governor, let's go, man.
the governor. And
hi, it's Dave.
Roschon, to me, when I look at Roschon, he's not attacking enough. Like, he's got some of that skill set in short yardage like we're talking about. And he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he can block, but he's like a solid third running back to me. Like, I'd be fine if he's your third running back, but he is not your first or your second running back.
He could be a one. Like Tanny and I were just talking, he didn't attack because he's not on the field.
Yeah, no, I disagree. I don't think he can be a one.
No, I don't think so either.
I do not think so.
There was a time that people thought he could potentially be that just because
he's a stud.
He played behind Bijan Robinson at Texas. And everybody thought, oh, wait till this guy. I mean, if he didn't have Bijan Robinson to mess with, this guy. I remember from the beginning, and like, this is no attack on him, Roschon Johnson, because he's a nice guy, good guy, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But everybody was saying, oh yeah, look out for this guy, Roschon, man. He's the guy they like. He's the guy they want. And Roschon has just been eh.
Yeah, and he also, after the concussion, he played with the extra helmet, and you wondered if that affected his willingness to get into the mix and do some of the dirty work
Did you feel that way? I didn't necessarily.
The Indians cap, according to Tanny.
What?
They call it the Guardians cap.
The Guardians cap. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
But I didn't even get the Indians reference. I didn't get it.
Because like, Cleveland Guardians.
Because that's what they were called.
No, I know, but like, never mind.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, in the first place.
I tried too hard. Sorry about that.
Bears. It's okay. I felt that
clean
way.
Clean the palate. Sorry about that.
Palate cleanser. I mean, say it when you feel it.
The radio palate cleanser.
So in terms of what they will do, let's listen to DeAndre Swift when asked during the year about his potential to adapt to a different running style. This is as the offensive coordinator changes were swirling and as the Bears' needs were changing. This is after the Patriots game.
I haven't been asked to do anything. I feel as though I'm adjusting to anything that I need to adjust to. If I need to lower my pads and get 3 yards and run people, make people, whatever I need to do is what I'm going to do.
So DeAndre Swift, good dude, good pro, Right? Wouldn't you say
came
Grody,
across that way? Yes.
Based on the year, and Olden Kruetz called him out for that kind of thing during the course of the year in a positive way as well.
Oh, absolutely. No, no. He kept to himself. There were many times where he would politely decline to speak to us, and not in the bad way. I don't like you guys. I don't want to talk to you guys. Way. So he was quiet, and yeah, I guess I would gather that. Like, he's a guy, like, I feel like I don't really know him that well, but professional is probably a good word for DeAndre Swift. Yeah.
And then we go to what Detroit did. We all know about Jahmyr Gibbs, who ran for 1,412 yards. We know that that David Montgomery had a big year as well. David Montgomery didn't get to even 900 or 800. Maybe got to 800. It was right there towards it. But with the injury, he got to 775. They probably would have had 2,000 yard backs if David Montgomery did not get hurt.
God.
And what Ben Johnson does, there's a lot of motion in his offense historically. A lot of motion, a lot of play action at an extremely high rate. And the running back usage affects how a defense thinks. Listen to this. This is Kevin Byard, Bears safety Kevin Byard, talking about Ben Johnson's offense from the safety, the veteran safety's perspective.
This team goes through their running backs. Like, just point blank period, you know, obviously Jared Goff is a really great quarterback. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's having a phenomenal year this year. He's not turned the ball. I mean, he had one game where he threw five picks, but other than that, he really hasn't been turning the ball over. His completion rating is probably the top in the league. But like I said, he's been distributing the ball to all his playmakers. But this team wants to run the ball with Demo and Jahmyr Gibbs, and then obviously get the ball to 14 and Sam LaPorta when they can, and obviously taking shots with Jamison Williams. So we know what they want to do, but it's another thing to go out there and stop it.
It's interesting. So when he says it goes through their running backs and all keys on the running backs, he's not just talking about when they get the ball. He's talking about when those running backs go in motion, when those running backs are used in play action. It's a little window into how active and important they are for Ben.
Yeah, and we'll see if Ben Johnson can get the Bears whatever the running backs consist of, and if it is him, if they can get him to do that dance. I always get, I don't know, man. Maybe it's because I've heard it enough from past Bears coaches and offensive coordinators about the idea of calibrating an offense based on the personnel.
Absolutely.
And then we never see it. Now, Ben Johnson is different from those guys in terms of who he is and what he has accomplished than some of those guys, like a Luke Getsy. You know, guy like past offensive coordinators who talked a big game
about
doing that same thing. So I'm a little bit traumatized from past OCs and QB coaches and whomever to actually just believe it and say Ben Johnson is going to take care of this. But there are actual examples, at least with Ben Johnson, to suggest that he can do the same things and actually calibrate offense around the talent that he has.
Well, to your point, the offensive line in Detroit, and we'll do offensive line at some point in this segment of Ben's Vision, you're listening to Spiegel and Holmes, that line blocks in wide zone, that line has blocked in inside zone, that line has blocked using gap scheme, like three different styles that they've been comfortable doing. So he's got a big playbook and he'll adjust that. Here's an interesting thing about their running back usage. With those two great running backs, would you think they were ever on the field that much together? So we talk about that a lot on teams with two good running backs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be 21 personnel, two running backs and one tight end, or 22 personnel. They never once ran that. Two running backs, two tight ends.
Wow.
So 21. There's just six teams in the NFL over 10% at running 21 personnel this past year, okay? The Niners use two running backs, usually the fullback, Juszczyk. The Dolphins, the Ravens, often a fullback with Derrick Henry. The Saints, the Chargers with Harbaugh and Greg Roman, and the Vikings. Those are the only six teams over 10%. The Lions, only 1.6%, down at 19th in the NFL. The Bears, 24th at 0.6%. So it's not like Ben Johnson, even with two great running backs, used him that much in the same backfield, like, ever.
But think about this, too. The amount of times that the Lions used two running backs, it wasn't always Gibbs and Montgomery. It was also Penei Sewell. They put him back there.
Against the Bears.
Yeah, yes. It's probably true. You would be listed as the running back.
Every game, I think he might have had a snap in the backfield.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
I could be wrong about every game, but it was often.
Yeah,
they threw to him against the Bears.
Yes,
remember that? Against that was that Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah.
Could they trade for Penei Sewell? Say, hey, but we want him as a running back. We promise we won't use him at tackle. And you think the Lions would sign off on it?
Right.
Well, make sure. For sure we won't misuse him in that regard.
or just make sure Doug Kramer can hold the ball. And use Doug Kramer
NBL and make sure everybody knows he's eligible. Yeah, I mean, eligible.
That's the thing. It's not like they used a fullback in Detroit. It's not. Those of you who are clamoring for a fullback in the Ben Johnson Bears version of the backfield, I don't think you're going to get
it. The game just got himself a Super Bowl ring, though.
He did.
Kari Blassen game.
Yes, he did. So, look.
The game did of like the 50 Cent crew?
No, man. There's a different game in town now.
I don't know what they call them the game. It's, I like that. So you learn something new every day when you got someone on the Bears beat here. I love that.
The game.
I call him the game. I think I'm the only one who calls him the game.
Well, that's fine. That's where it starts.
I would be in the locker room, and you know, we kind of huddle up in the locker room and other reporters talking to each other. I remember saying to a couple of them, hey, hold on a second, guys. I'm going to go talk to the game. They're like, what's the game?
What was the song, Tanny, that the game did with 50 Cent?
Card did like practically a hater to love it.
Oh no, you're thinking of In the Club, not In the Game. You got it wrong. In the Club.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I think Hater to Love It.
Yeah. Sorry.
Speaks.
What about
yes? Back on track.
I know it's my. I'm so used to it not being my role.
Here, wait.
Let's be honest. So, I'm so used to being part of the chorus that's getting either Danny or Lawrence off the track and having fun and waiting for them to drive it back. This is a strange spot for me. I'm going to be brutally honest here.
Yo.
Yeah.
We were talking about...
Thanks, Grody.
I can see it, though. New podcast. Kari Blassen game and Mark Grody. Spitting game.
Yeah, spitting game.
No.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Grody in the game.
Here's a couple things about DeAndre Swift. Traded away by the Lions.
Yes.
When Ben Johnson was there. DeAndre Swift traded away by the Eagles. Both times he was about to get paid. Now he's been paid, and you have him paid. We've got, the dead cap number, if they release him before June 1st, it'll be $8.7 million. If they trade him before June 1st, it's only $2.6 million as a dead cap. If they release him after June 1st, it's $7.4 million. If they trade him after June 1st, it's $1.3 million. A trade away of DeAndre Swift for a late-round draft pick would not surprise me at all. Mm. And then the Bears going out and getting two new running backs.
Wow, okay.
Verdict time.
For
you, Mark Grody, and for me, what do you do with DeAndre Swift? I have my thoughts. What are yours?
I keep him. I keep him and this year, and I want to see what Ben Johnson can do. I want to see what Ben Johnson calibrating DeAndre Swift to whatever the Bears offense is. I want to see what that looks like. However, you definitely either draft a running back or bring in a running back, whomever becomes available, whoever, maybe somebody is out there.
Yeah.
Be ready. Be ready for if Edward Elzeli goes bad, you have Hector Neris standing right there for you. And then maybe that won't work either. But
history says.
Yes, at least have that ready to go. Keep him.
Okay, understood. My verdict is that it's possible Swift could be like the older version of Jahmyr Gibbs as a change of pace guy and game breaker. The Bears need a new lead running back.
Keep him. Don't depend on him.
I'd be
is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. But I'm saying that's a possibility. Okay. So actually, I'd be fine with two new ones. I'd be good with the trade away of DeAndre Swift and two new running backs.
Okay.
One in free agency and one in the draft. I think for sure one in the draft. It's a very deep running back class, and we'll have time to focus on that as the draft approaches. Here are some of the free agents out there. Najee Harris from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Javonte Williams, the former Denver Bronco, interests me. And then there's some bargain attempts like J.K. Dobbins, who hasn't been able to stay healthy, but when he's been good, he's been good. Nick Chubb coming off the injury and the recovery in Cleveland.
I kind of like the Nick Chubb idea, depending on how healthy he is.
All those guys are going to be...
Chubb's a badass.
Chubb's a badass if he can actually play.
Right.
Dobbins is a badass if he can actually play. And if you're also drafting one and keeping Roschon as your third running back or even your fourth running back, back because I think that's all he is. But I think they're definitely going to draft one. And maybe they will keep Swift because maybe it takes a couple years and right. it's more cost effective to keep Swift. But at the very least, draft one. And we'll do that as a separate down the road.
And I can't wait to see what does happen. And that's when we start to find out how Ben Johnson really feels, because we could play back what he said at his press conference and we could kind of follow along with what he's thinking and what he's saying. But we really have no idea. He may want no part of DeAndre Swift.
I have this suspicion that he doesn't want any part of DeAndre Swift. And I think it's possible this might be the first guy we're talking about in a Ben's Vision segment that does stand as an emblem of the split between Ryan Poles, who went out and got DeAndre Swift and pay him, and Ben Johnson, who was part of the Lions when they traded him away.
Wow. Or could Ben Johnson be like, hey man, I'm Ben Johnson. I can get this to work. Well, I can take your player, Ryan Poles, who's still under contract, for whom there is a cap hit,
right,
and I can make him way better than he was last year. So it's like the Craig Council. I keep doing Cubs analogies here. It's like the Craig Council hiring. Is Craig Council, they're just going to pour resources into it? Or are they going to say, hey, Craig, do what you did with Milwaukee Brewers. Do he what can you
take,
did there.
He can take his'n and beat your'n, and he can take your'n and beat his'n.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. Not with all the in silliness that you just did, but that's what I'm saying.
I think DeAndre Swift is a fascinating dividing line, potentially, on Ben's vision. He is Mark Grody. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score. Let's talk about coaching vision and the late Dick Geron and much more with the former Bears safety, Mike Brown. That'll be fun on The Score coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Dick Geron, many felt that had he not had such a successful season, it could have been his last. He was under pressure in his third season to produce a winner. He's done all of that. The Bears, the stingiest defense in the NFL.
You know, I would be remiss. It's hard for me to think of Brian without thinking of Mike Brown. It came in together.
With the ninth choice in the NFL Draft 2000, the Chicago Bears select Brian Urlacher, linebacker.
Mike Brown and I were drafted in the same class. He is the smartest football player I've ever been on the field with. Even smarter than I am, I hate saying that.
Chicago selects Mike Brown, safety from Nebraska.
When he was in the game, it took a lot of pressure off myself. He communicated with the defense with his little squeaky-ass voice. I miss that voice. When he wasn't on the field, it hurt me and it hurt our defense.
Beasley in motion. And Garcia's pass is bobbled by Owens. Intercepted by Brown. Mike Brown into the end zone. Wins it in overtime for the Bears.
Couch out of the shotgun. Throws. That's batted into the air. Intercepted, and the Bears are going to win it. Mike Brown has done it again.
You know, we targeted them. We talked about them. You had those conversations like you always do for the draft the day before. Well, what if Urlacher's up in the first round against this guy? Who would we take, you know? And then you're just praying, for us anyway, we're praying that Mike Brown gets to where we can get him. And it was fated, I think. It was fated. It was really one of the happiest football days of my life. Wow. And we got them both.
The Bears have won the NFC Central Division title.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Let's see the Chicago defense here.
Mike Brown, Nebraska.
Afternoons on the Score.
Pleased to welcome in Mike Brown on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Your name, Mike Brown, makes Bears fans smile for all eternity. That's pretty cool. Welcome to the show. Thank you for the time. How are you today?
Man, thank you for having me. I'm like, it's a sad day because, you know, I just saw the funeral of the matriarch. So it's sad, but it's also a joyous occasion. I know that, you know, people who read the Bible, they say, like, being with people who mourn is better than people who have, like, you know, joy in the heart. And I would tell you, like, all these people here, like, even though we were mourning, the joy of her presence and what she did for many, many people is outstanding. Like, I don't think I can ever get this back. This is a great, like, she was an amazing woman, and I'm just, yeah. So that's it. That's all I'm going to say. What's next, brother?
No, actually, I'm sorry to do this to you, Mike, but I do want to keep you right there for a second because I love the fact that you started with that. It's beautiful in part because it made me remember you're a Bear, man. I mean, like,
I was a Bear. I'm never not going to be a Bear. My son is a Bear. My family's are Bears. Like, that will never change. Like, that's a part of, I guess it's kind of crazy, part of how, like, I was a father. I'm like, you're going to be a Bear. Like, I don't care what, but y'all going to be Bears, right? So I guess that's kind of the way that, like, I roll. Like, you going to be a part of this or not? Let's go.
Yeah, but do you still have your little, your watching area, your Bears game viewing area that you described to us a few years ago on the show? Yes, sir.
Yeah, what do you want to know about that?
I mean, I just remember.
Give us your Sundays when you're watching Bears games. What's the lowdown? Who do you watch it with?
So this is the thing. You know what? I can't watch most of the times. Like, I can't. Like, the last time I watched a football game with people was this last Super Bowl. I got to watch the game by myself.
My man.
Yeah, so like I'm like locked in. So like I'm seeing. The only thing that bothers me is like you can't see the all 22. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So I just watch the game and see. I want to see the players play, man. I want to see what they do, how they react to situations. Bad, good, indifferent, all those things.
So
I want to see a team.
So you joined us, Mike, with some occasional frustration at some coaching maneuvers during the course of this past season?
No. I'm not saying the coaching maneuvers. No.
Okay. All right. Well,
this is what we're saying. This is what I'm saying. Football is hard, right? To win a football game in the NFL, it's hard. And, like, I'm going to go to my late coach, Dick Geron.
Please.
My first head coach in the league. And he gave me something that I take to heart. Like, every game takes a life of its own. So it doesn't matter if you're good, bad, or whatever, but every game takes a life of itself. So, like, the bad can be the good, and the good could be bad, and then the bad could be good. So it's a crazy sport, to be honest with you.
Why is football a crazy sport? As we talk to Mike Brown, and he's getting philosophical, and we're here for it, Mike.
Okay, so this is what it is. Like now, I think it's a war of attrition, right? So like you hear like this is what you got to listen to the quarterbacks that win a lot of Super Bowls. What do they say? You got to win with the teammates that you got, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you start a season, you got everybody you want. But when you end the season, like it could be 5, 7, 8 dudes. Detroit, how many people do they have like out of their defense? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're a good team, right? Even good team, but you ain't got the people that was there doing the work. So I guess that's what it is. It's like if you have the people in place and they can play, you're good to go. But if you don't, you better have some backups.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dick Geron, Dick Geron in the open that we played talked about the day he drafted you and Brian Urlacher together as one of the happiest days of his football life. That's a man. He had a long football life, Mike. He was a great player in high school, great player at the Ivy League, great player in the NFL, coach for decades. It's like, what was he like as a man and a head coach for you and Brian and everybody else?
For me, Coach Geron is the best man I've ever been around. Like, I teach my son to be like Dick Geron, like for real. Like, that's how special he was and how caring and like, how hopeful and the love, but he still had like this discipline about him, right? So there was always respect for Coach Geron. He always he knew the game. And like you said, he played, so he was like a player, so he understands the things that players are going through and the things they have to do that are, you know, a lot of people don't understand. Play, you know, got a wife, got kids to do, you know what I'm saying? I got to go pick up the kids. Right. So just that aspect of Coach Geron and like how he wanted us to be great men, not just good, but great men. And he gave an example of that. That was, I can ever have anyone ever to be like Coach Geron. Like, that's how good of a man he was.
So then let me ask you this. With how much you revere him and obviously love him, you said one of the best men that you've ever met. How overwhelmingly exciting, or I guess, Mike, maybe emotional, was that 2001 season, that improbable season where you did improbable things in back-to-back weeks with the walk-off pick sixes and you had the Keith Traylor game that year?
Yeah.
And I know it didn't end well, Mike. I was very upset about the Hugh Douglas, Jim Miller Eagles game. But what was that? Oh, man.
And that dude's
he's doing pregame now, too, in Philadelphia. I heard him the other day, and I still get mad when I hear
hear his voice. You hurt Jim Miller.
He just dropped him on that shoulder, and that was a wrap, brother. That was a wrap.
So can you capitalize that season, like from an emotional standpoint and from the Dick Turan perspective?
So here, this is the year. This is my second year in the league, so I'm a young dude. I got Big Cat taking me under his wing. I got Olin Cruz. Like, I'm going to Thursday dinners with the offensive lineman. It's me and the whole offensive lineman.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah.
How'd you get in there, man?
Right. So like, that's the kind of vibe we had. Fred Baxter would throw barbecues. Everyone would come, bring their chairs, and we're sitting in a one-room apartment outside with chairs inside with everyone barbecuing. So we had a young and an old connection. So the veterans and the young people had a nice mix. And I think the most important thing was that the young folks listened to the old folks. You know what I'm saying? So we had that kind of mix, and we started playing, and then we got the vibe of winning. So if you win, you figure out a way to do it all the time. And that's just what's happening. If you lose all the time, you're going to lose. If you win, you're going to win. So that's what happened. We just got on the winning train. And then Ted Washington, I mean, we had some great veterans. I think that was the thing to me, is like we had old and young, and it mixed well. Like it was like a pudding. We got the young dudes that coming in, and the old dudes came in, and we mixed it up in the pudding. And it became the 2001 season.
Delicious.
All right, what's your favorite pudding? What's number one on the pudding choices from Mike Brown?
Tapioca.
Wow, did not expect that.
Yeah, you didn't expect that. I know. I that's weird. Like I when I say that, I didn't even want to say that, but I said it.
No, you should say it. Be who you are, Mike Brown.
Yeah, but tapioca, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's a little crazy. All right, where are you on rice pudding? It's like, is it inferior to tapioca pudding? Maybe.
Say again.
Rice pudding. These are really important questions.
Oh, rice?
Yeah, rice pudding.
You know what? Yeah. I think rice pudding is like tapioca. It's like the same thing, right?
Similar, yeah. It's very similar. Very similar.
But I've never had rice pudding, to be honest with you.
I don't need rice in my pudding, Mike Brown. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Look, we'll deal with this later. We'll deal with this later. Yeah. Maybe off the air.
Oh, this is like something y'all got going on.
You took us there, man. You took us to pudding. Yeah.
What kind of pudding did Roosevelt, Colvin, and Warwick Holman like the best?
Oh, I think they would like the chocolate and the vanilla mix.
Yeah. Would Olin Truths? Would Olin even eat pudding? Would he have pudding if
pudding
he brought it
to
the offensive line?
Olin Truths would get a spoonful of pudding and throw it at somebody.
And that person would be damaged by a spoonful of pudding.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he'd get knocked out by a spoon just getting thrown out to the pudding.
That's how hard Olin would throw pudding.
Yeah, that's how hard he would throw pudding. For real.
Yeah, man.
That's my bush.
Man, you never saw anybody throw pudding like Olin threw pudding.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I believe it. Stay away from the gun ranges on that one.
Stay away from the big weights.
What? Did I say it out loud? That's my mistake. Olin's our guy, Mike. He's our guy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's my, like I said, like I've always said, he's my favorite teammate. If I was to draft someone on a football team, it would be Olin Cruz, man.
Yeah, but
the first dude to touch the ball, like he's that good.
He was up for the Hall of Fame this year, and
I know.
I think that dude should be a Hall of Famer, Mike.
He is a Hall of Famer. He's all decade. He's everything. But you know how it is when the people who vote don't like you. Like it should be Peanut should be in. Olin should be in. I think Briggs should be in. Those three for me are like no doubters. Like Olin, those are no doubters to me. Yeah.
We talked to Peanut a few weeks ago. It was so great to catch up with him. And it's like, he changed the game, man. Every weekend. Every
that's
weekend.
What I'm saying. Mm-hmm. When people talk, when people say your name, like that's the peanut punch.
Wow.
Every time. That's you got to get in. And like, dude, like check this out. He had 40 forced fumbles and he almost had 40 interceptions. He'd have been the only person to do that. I think he missed the interceptions by two. I think he has like 38 interceptions and 40 forced fumbles. That's a lot of turnovers, like, available. You feel me?
Mike, he's the only guy in the top 15 of forced fumbles who's not a defensive lineman.
That's what I just saw that. I just saw that the other day. And that's crazy to see that, right?
Yes.
So that even gives you more, like, dude, this dude was out here. Dude, the dude had four forced fumbles in one game.
Yeah.
Put him
like,
in a hole.
That is crazy.
You know,
Hall of Famer?
Yeah, for sure.
He's got to be a Hall of Famer. He's got to be a Hall of Famer.
In thinking about it, we're with Mike Brown here on The Score. You go from Dick Geron, and that was beautiful what you said about Dick Geron. And you think about it, you go from Dick Geron to Lovie Smith. These are classy adults. These are grown-ups in the football sense.
These are men that ooh, how can I say this?
To be reckoned with.
No, not to be reckoned with. They're the dudes that can, like, scrape off the badness. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Dudes that can scrape off the bad. Like, we got the circle, right? But we need to scrape off some of this, you know. I don't know. It's weird. When they come into the room, it's like an aura about them. Like, you can see it. And they just, when they start speaking, you're like, oh, this dude is legit, man. Just saw Lovie. It was crazy. Just saw Lovie. And he's a great man. And, like, you know, that's the thing. That's what I'm going to tell you. Coach Geron and Lovie Smith, they love football and they coach football, but they were more worried about the men that were playing for them. And so they were trying to make the men, men. Mm. And, like, I cannot say how much that has done for me as I've become an adult and a man. So those things that they taught me are the things I'm trying to give to me and my family.
Mm.
So I guess that's what I would tell you about that. That's how much respect I have for those two men.
That's got to be a big reason why you're a Bear for life, as you say. It's like you got molded by those men, and it matters still. That's beautiful.
Yes, and like that's what I'm saying. I grew up a Bear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was young. Yeah, I grew up like
Bear.
The cool thing was though, my stepfather was kind of from the Arlington Heights, you know, area. So like, I had Chicago Bears like memorabilia all in my house. I was a Jordan fan, so I was a Chicago fan. So when I got drafted by Chicago, I knew. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like, I knew what time it was. I know how Chicago gets down with their sports, and I was like, this is the best place I could end up, for real.
Really quick, I did not know, Mike Brown, that you had the falsetto that Brian Urlacher seems to think that you have.
It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. No, I'm not hearing it, but I'm guessing that was the impersonation of record of Mike Brown. I'm guessing the high pitch.
Yeah, that definitely, like that is my Hey, that's how people know me. How about
okay.
I say that?
Okay,
all right.
Sounds good, man.
Well,
sounds good.
Well, Mike, this has been so much fun. Listeners have loved it. Thanks so much, dude. We'll catch up again when my regular co-host Lawrence Holmes is here, who loves you from back in the day as well. But like, you know what we're gonna send you, right? You know what we're gonna send you, don't you?
What?
Rice,
what are you gonna send me?
Rice pudding. We're gonna send you.
Be careful what you ask for.
You got the rice puddings here, hon.
Is it like tapioca? That's what I heard.
We'll check back, man. We'll check back after you try it.
All right. Send it to me.
All right. On
hey, guys.
On
thanks
its way.
For having me.
See you, Mike.
Mike, thank you so much.
You guys. Yeah, man. Thank you. I love you, too.
Oh, bye. Man. Much love. Unbelievable.
I love
Mike
too.
Brown, former Bears safety. My God, was that fun. We'll react to it when we come back okay. on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Charles Tillman. Charles, thanks for being on the show.
Y'all ready for me to go?
No, not.
You can't take no calls or nothing?
Well, if you want to hang on for a minute, we'll take a break and we'll come back and take some calls.
Is it a media minute or is it like a black person minute?
It's a black person minute because a black person drives this show.
Afternoons on The Score.
There's a lot going on here.
There really was. Mike Brown, the texters just all over it. Here's one. I'm a sports radio junkie. That's one of the best interviews I've ever heard on the radio. I didn't know I needed more Mike Brown in my life. Just catching up on Mike Brown. Brilliant. The Bearsometer just kept spinning, says the texter. What a joy. Here's a big question. Mark Grody, you give out bears a certain number for each person. How many bears does Mike Brown get now?
I got to tell you, this might be an unprecedented moment here. What's about to happen? Mike Brown, like, the fact that he's a bear through and through, and he knows he's a bear and loves the Bears and lives it the way we live it. He's not from here, but he talks like a guy who's from here.
He had relatives in Arlington Heights.
Relatives,
he was a Jordan fan when he got here.
Right. Like, to accept Chicago and to embrace and love Chicago the way he has. 10 bears.
Oh.
This
wow.
is a big moment right
wow.
here. This is a,
he's a stud.
It's a 10 bear moment, and I have to tell you, this is very emotional for me. It takes a lot out of me to do what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Because he's not from here, but the way he spoke during the, and folks, go back and listen on the Odyssey app. He is you. He is Chicago,
yeah.
and he's damn proud of 10 bears.
That's meaningful.
Bears.
That's meaningful. First team All-Pro in 2001, with those back-to-back walk-off pick sixes.
San Francisco and Cleveland, and then later on, he was one of the blockers in the Keith Trailer, rumbling, stumbling, 67. Like, he's right there.
Seriously, in terms of, like, things you want from a radio interview, it's the old friend in a good vibe with a great laugh. It is the guy giving you the realness on the men that he played with and worked with, the connectivity that he takes into his adulthood and middle age as a dad and as a man. It's some of the X's and O's about how football is a war of attrition, and you lose people, and you gotta play with whoever's there. And it's the absurdity of the pudding.
Yes.
It's the joy of putting conversation. And for me, what I'll remember and take away forever is the image of Olin Krutz hurting you with a spoonful of pudding. Like, do you know how strong you have to be to hurt somebody with pudding?
And I can see it.
I mean, because I don't know about you. I didn't picture the spoon even being involved. It's the spoon, and then it's flicked.
Right, the flick.
The pudding itself is flicked. It's the pudding that does the damage.
Right.
Anybody can hurt you with a spoon.
I mean, that sounds pretty dangerous, man. I mean, you could really hurt somebody like that. So I'm glad we didn't know about that then. I mean, that would have been something we would have gone after, I think, back in the day. You know?
Oh,
can't be doing
God.
That. I mean, he might have blinded somebody. Might have taken his eye out, Olin. I don't know.
That's a great get by Shane Reardon, and we're going to send him rice pudding. We got to get an address.
Yeah, you were very worried about that, right? After Spiegs, it's like, God, seriously, got to get that pudding out to Mike Brown. But that was another one of those interviews, too, where we could have probably gone, like, there was another 30 minutes.
Oh, yes.
There. But maybe, I mean, it was like probably just perfect the way we left
the
it.
The big takeaway, 10 bears, and as the texter says, Mike Brown's stepfather has imbued him with as yet undetected bears.
Oh, undetected, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But you found him.
Undetected bears.
It is Spiegel
and
Holmes.
He was pumped about it. I texted him right after. He's like, hey, let's do that more next year.
Oh, I thought you talked about the. Did you tell him about the 10 bears?
Yeah, I did.
We had
a 40-minute conversation
just,
about it.
Yeah. Real quick, you know, like, we know a lot of these guys now that played on, like, that 2016, the Super Bowl team, and they live in the shadow of that 85 team. But all these guys that we've gotten to know over the years,
incredible.
From Olin to Lance, Peanut, Mike, Pat, all these guys, they're just the best.
They really
actually.
Are.
No, forget Pat.
Yeah.
they really are.
And low key, haven't they kind of
taken over the 85 Bear presence. I mean, in terms of the media, and I mean, like,
yeah,
in like exposure, and neither is like at a height now, but
yeah,
I would say that that actually happened.
I think we are the living generation of Bears fans that have crossed over into that, my friend.
That is right. 10 Bears.
We are going to talk about the Cubs, and we're going to talk about finances because it underpins every Cubs conversation. And I think, frankly, ownership did a pretty terrible job of putting it in context. And let's see if we can fill out some context and if it makes it any more palatable or not where the Cubs are in MLB. We'll do that next on The Score.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.